One sat alone beside the highway begging. His eyes were blind, the light he could not see. He clutched his old rags and shivered in the shadows. Then Jesus came and bade his darkness flee. When Jesus comes.
It's time again for the Family Altar program with Evangelist Lester Roloff.
When Jesus comes, all the tears are dried away.
And here now is Brother Roloff.
And fills the life with glory. For all is changed when Jesus comes to stay. I want to speak on the subject, where has the joy gone? I want to speak on the subject of looking for lost joy. Now, you know where the text is, don't you? It's in the chapter that we've asked you to memorize. And I never do ask people to do silly things. When I ask you to memorize a chapter, that's worthwhile. When you memorize a chapter of the Word of God, you'll be enriched in your spiritual life. And we've got mentally lazy people today. Many people are lip lazy. They don't speak plain enough and loud enough where people can even understand them while they talk. But I want you to memorize Psalm 51. And in the middle of this psalm, you'll hear the king cry out, though he's still king, though he has fabulous wealth, the most beautiful palace in the world at that time, children and grandchildren, armies that could not be defeated, yet you know what he said? Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then he said, I'll go back to work for the Lord. I'll teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Will you bow your head now and pray with me for a minute? Our Heavenly Father, we're not asking you to come to make this a more respectable service and to cause the people to think that we're a little more religious and pious, but we need the help of heaven tonight. And dear Lord, I want to thank thee for the service this afternoon. We had a good time. We believe the Lord met with us, and I want to praise thee for it. And Father, I'm going to praise you for every victory and every blessing and every opportunity and every open door. And Lord, it just looks like that this ought to be one of the most fruitful weeks we've ever known in helping people on to Christ. Father, I pray for that desperate mother that called us on the phone a moment ago with that little daughter sitting up in the detention jailhouse right now, that's rebellious and determined to live for the devil and hates God and hates the Word of God. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that before this week is over, we'll have the privilege of seeing that girl won to Christ. And Father, I pray for every pastor. I pray for the churches that'll be having their own service tonight too. Give them a great service. Bless them, Lord. And Father, I pray for every guest and visitor. May we realize as we live here in Columbus that this is everybody's meeting. And may we win the lost for Christ. Now give me liberty to preach. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, there are a lot of scriptures I want to give you, and I hope you'll bring your Bible. I ask you to bring your Bible, every one of you. Every member of the choir is supposed to bring their Bible. Every person in the audience is supposed to bring their Bible. I'm not interested in but one kind of revival, that's a Bible revival. I'm not concerned about weekend revival or church revival or training union revival or Sunday school revival. I want to see a Bible revival. I know one thing, when we have a Bible revival, it'll last long after this preacher's flown out of this city. And I'm asking you to bring your Bible with you every time you come to church. And don't expect God to bless you now as long as you rebel and don't do the simple things. Now, if I ask you to bring, a saddle or a horse or something else, that'd be silly, but I'm asking you to bring your Bible. I'm asking you to bring your Bible every time you come. And if you're ashamed of the Bible, then I'm going to start praying for you to get saved, because you're not saved any more than a mangy dog. You couldn't be saved if you're ashamed of the Bible. I mean, it'd be just like a man saying, I love my mother, while he's ashamed of her. This is your mother. You was born in this book right here. And I'm going to ask you to bring your Bible. I told you that. I sent out tapes, and I said to you before, I'm on the radio and everywhere. Now, you mind me, honey, children. You mind me if you'd almost spank you every night when you get here. Now, you bring your Bible. And you say, well, that's not important. You preach out of your Bible. You bring your Bible. You bring your Bible. You may not do, I'm allowed to be reading out of something with black covers. It may not even be the Bible. You bring your Bible with you tomorrow night. Now then, it's time for the message. I wish I didn't have to say that, but I see so many of you sitting out there empty-handed, and I want you to bring your Bible. I ask you to do that because we need, you know what the Bible says? Tomorrow night will be the greatest night of the entire meeting if we have revival. Tomorrow night will be the night. I mean, every hope I've got hinges on tomorrow night. That's right, one service. Your response tomorrow night, I'll guarantee you'll determine whether Columbus will ever have another revival or not. When you reject the truth we deliver tomorrow night, you've closed the door forever on revival. I mean, you've doomed your city to hell when you turn your back on the simple truth we'll preach in this citywide auditorium tomorrow night. Now, Joshua said, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that's written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Everybody wants to succeed, and everybody wants to be prosperous, and yet practically nobody is. Nearly every business is failing. Did you know that? Farmers are failing. Farming business is in bad shape today. I mean, the fishing business is in bad shape today. Even the fish are poisoned, you see, from the junk that's coming and from the trash and the oil and the gas and the filth that we're pumping into the seas. And I mean, businesses are failing. I mean, stock market's going down. And I'm not trying to picture a dark picture. I'm simply saying we've gotten away from Bible prosperity. That's the reason I want you to bring your Bible. We'll never have prosperity in America again until people get back to the Bible. Never will. God couldn't afford to let us prosper. We've prospered already more than we deserve. And so tonight I want to speak on the subject looking for lost joy. Turn to Psalm chapter 51. Psalm 51. I've already given you the verse, but I want you to look at it for just a moment. It starts out with David asking for mercy. And he asked for it according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. He said, I want you to put the blotter to my transgressions. I want you to wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity. He said, I acknowledge my transgression, my sins ever before me. Against thee, the only have I sinned, done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. In other words, he said, I'm going to go by the book. I'm going by the book. Just whatever you say goes with me. I'm going to clear God of the whole thing. I'm to blame for it. I've sinned. I've committed adultery and I've killed a man. And I know it's my fault. I'm not blaming anybody but David. And I'm asking you to have mercy upon me. According to the multitude of your tender mercies, I want you to blot out my transgression and wash me through and through from my sin. Now, he had a revival, didn't he? Now, but wait a minute. I'm going on down to the verse. It's found in verse 12, chapter 51, verse 12. Then, verse 12, restore to me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. Will you turn with me now to the book of Isaiah? I hope you'll see if you have your Bible, you can mark these verses. If you don't, you won't. You'll forget them the time you get home. In Jeremiah chapter 12, the 12th chapter, said some joy somewhere, verse 2. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. You know what I believe that means, Brother Hodges? I believe that means going after souls. Because I'm drawing water out of the well, see? And you can't draw water out of the well you know anything about. You got to get in connection with the well, got to know where the well is. And you got to have that well rope of faith and bucket of compassion. And so he said, therefore with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. Would you turn with me to the book of Jeremiah? Did you know this was the weeping prophet? Did you know he cried more than any man so far as we know in the Bible? He cried till he couldn't cry, his tear ducts all run dry, and yet I'm going to show you he had some joy. A lot of people think because Christians weep some, and we ought to weep every day, or the erring one, lift up the fallen, snatch them in pity from sin in the grave. A lot of people think because we weep that we're unhappy. My weeping days are my happiest days. My most miserable days are the days that I weep over nobody, care nothing about anybody. I mean, those are miserable days, if you ever have them. And so he said, thy words were found, verse 16, chapter 15 and 16, chapter 15, verse 16, thy words were found. I found them. I found the words of the Lord. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. I had a big meal on them. I ate them up. You remember when God told the preacher over that eat the roll? He said, eat it. He said, just swallow it right down. Eat it. And he said, thy words were found, and I did eat them, and they became in me the joy. There it is. You know why we got so many miserable Baptists? And they're getting miserable, more miserable all the time. Because they done lost out with the Lord. Some of the most unhappy people in the world are Baptists now. And I could talk about the Methodists, but no need talking about them. We got so many Baptists, let's talk about them. Most miserable people I know are people that have gone away from the Word of God. It's written all over the faces of the people. No joy, no singing. No one can't sing. Get a singer get up, and he'll beg them for 15 minutes to smile. Said, couldn't y'all smile? Don't y'all know what y'all singing? Could you smile? Ah, listen, dear friends. Got to have a smile on the inside. He said, thy words were fine. I did eat them, and it became in me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. Made me happy. When I ate the Word of God, it brought a smile to my face, joy to my soul. Gave me real joy. All right? Joel, let's turn that little book of Joel. Now, this is the greatest revival book in the Bible. And no doubt in my mind, this is the greatest revival book in the Bible. I want to read Joel chapter 1, verse 12. The vine is dried up. Fig tree languisheth. That means there's no grapes, there's no figs. And brother, they ate them back in those days. Of course, I eat them now. That's about all I've had today is grapes, fruit. It's all I've had all day. The more I stay away from the cook stove, the better I feel. That's right. He said, but wait a minute, the famine's on, vine dried up, fig tree languisheth, pomegranate tree, palm tree also, apple tree, even all the trees of the field are withered. Because, now then get the reason. Get the reason. Because joy is withered away from the sons of men. Brother, when we lose the joy of the Lord, the fruit won't make. The land won't operate. The grapevine won't put grapes on. You know why we're facing starvation in America? And we will the next 10 years. We'll face starvation in America. I mean, we're going to be humble one of these days. A lot of people think you can live out of the supermarket. Supermarket's going to be paralyzed one of these days. The best supermarket you'll ever have is in your backyard when you raise your own garden. But see, people are too lazy to do that now. They couldn't watch television and do that at the same time. So they'd rather just starve and die of cancer as long as they watch television, see? I mean, we're through. I'm trying to wake you up, but I guarantee you, we've got a lot of people called Baptists. They're too far gone to ever wake up. And I'll promise you one thing. If you can go through this revival meeting, if you'll come with us, and if you're not awake by next Sunday night, I'll guarantee you, you've passed redemption point. You'd say, well, why did you say that? Because you're so smart? No, because I've got faith to believe the gospel will wake you up if you can be waked up. And we plan to preach it every day and every night, and we're going to visit you with the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit's going to say yes to the truth, and He's going to witness with your spirit whether you're a child of God or not. And I believe God will call His children back if they'll listen to the Word of God. And so He said, because joy is withered away from the sons of men. Would you turn with me to the book of Habakkuk? Habakkuk chapter 3 and verse 17. You talk about a picture of desolation and famine. This is it. Habakkuk chapter 3 and verse 17. Now you see how hard up you are, don't you, without your Bible? You see how bankrupt you are without your Bible? You haven't got a verse yet. Now you're going to try to remember, but you can't. You won't remember. But if you had that Bible and you'd mark them and put a little piece of paper there in your Bible, I'll guarantee you go over those when you get home tonight. It'd mean a lot more to you. And if you mark these scriptures, that's right. Listen, you show me a clean Bible and I'll show you a lean soul. If your Bible's clean, your soul's lean. Put her down. You say, what do you mean? I mean, if you have marked it and dropped tears all over it and prayed over it and handled it, and if it's not kind of worn out, there's something wrong with you. I'm just interested in one thing, Brother Hodges, and I'm going to go after it, and that's a Bible revival. I'll guarantee you, my choir, many of you haven't got your Bible yet. I'm going to stay after you. I'm going to spank you every night you come. I'm going to do it in love, but I'm going to get after you. I want to see a revival. I don't care about they call this a roll-off crusade. We don't need a roll-off crusade. You know what it'd do? It'd just roll off and it'd be gone. Brother, I want a Bible crusade. I want to see a heaven-sent Christ crusade, soul-winning crusade. Of course, I know that identifies it, and that's all right. But listen to me. He said, although the fig tree shall not blossom, there won't even be any blossoms on the fig tree. And let me tell you something. One of the greatest things that ever grew is a fig. Black Mission figs. How many of you old-timers ever took fig syrup when you was a kid? Uh-huh. How many of you? You know what Hezekiah put on him when God healed him? He put figs on him. That's right. Figs. You see, God's got everything in his fruit and his vegetables that it takes to heal. You don't have to go to the drugstore. If we had the right kind of food, food would become our best medicine. And until it is, we'll die before we're supposed to die. You remember that. There's no healing in drugs. There's no healing in synthetics. There's no healing in anything except what God blesses. Remember that. And if you don't believe it, you will, or you'll die one. And so he said, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines. That means the grapes are gone. And there's nothing like a big glass of unsweetened grape juice or fresh grapes. It's a beautiful blood builder. You ought to drink a big glass of grape juice every night, maybe with a half a lemon juice in it, and drink before you go to bed. Mother Nature will take that and mop all night with it. Clean all night with that. You'd say, well, Brother Olaf, I have some store-bought ice cream before I go to bed every night, huh? Well, I'll guarantee you she'll never put that on her mop. Bunch of synthetic poison. If you knew how many poison in that, you'd never do it. I'm just trying to preach to you. We got to get back to the Bible. We're a dying nation. We're degraded, depraved. We're in the end time decay right now of America. You watch 10 more years. There's not going to be enough hospitals. They haven't got enough insane institutions now. They haven't got enough psycho wards now. I mean, you try to see a psychiatrist, he'll tell you it'll be 30 days before you get an appointment. Why? You say, well, we just need to get it. Everybody's got more education than ever had before. Brother, I tell you, the plague's in the head. Yes, sir. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vine. The labor of the olive shall fail. I went to olive oil, one of the greatest oils you could ever get. Olive oil, that's one of God's remedies, olive oil. Oh, listen, the little olive, it's small, but I guarantee it's got something in it. It'll lubricate your system. Lubricates your system. The labor of the olive shall fail. The field shall yield no meat. I went to vegetables. You say, well, it didn't say vegetables, said meat. I know, but that's what they called meat back then. What do you make meat out of? What do you build cows out of? Green grass and vegetables, huh? That's the reason you don't let them in the garden. They'd eat it all up. They got good sins. But they'd never, if you cooked it, they wouldn't eat it. But you will. Are you listening? Somebody said, well, what kind of preacher we got here? Bible preacher. I'm staying right with the book. I'm just trying to show you. See, God, he gave it to you like he wanted you to have it. Man hadn't got sense enough to take it. That's the reason he's fouled up the gospel. The average preacher won't even preach the gospel like it is. He got to add to it, take from, and help God out and all that kind of junk. Brother, just go ahead and give it like it is. Where he said, the field shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold. Now that comes. And there shall be no herd in the stalls. Of course, I know you know that until man fell, he never did eat a bite of meat. That's right. Until after he got himself in a lot of trouble. But notice, he said the flock should be cut off from the fold, and there should be no herd in the stalls. Of course, there's another sermon brewing. I won't preach it tonight. And then even then, when God let people eat meat, he told them what meat to eat and what meat not to eat, didn't he? That's right. Oh, I tell you, haven't we gone a long ways from Bible living? Isn't it a sight? But look at the price we're paying. Every hospital's crammed and jammed. Every drugstore's doing a landslide business. And everybody's sick. You hardly ever find anybody feeling real good. You know that? You just ask somebody in the morning, how are you? Oh, I guess doing fairly well. How are you getting along, grandmother? Oh, tolerably. Mm-hmm. How are you this morning? Well, I have felt better. I'm not doing so well. Have you ever heard, oh, listen, nearly everybody feels bad. Nearly everybody. Get up feeling bad, go to bed feeling bad. Why? Something wrong with them. Haven't taken care of the old body. You boys and girls over here on the front seat, hey, son, Look here. Punch that boy. You watch me here. That's right, and you listen. I'll knock a knot on your pumpkin head. I don't put up with any foolishness in my meeting. I'm serious about that. You girls and boys, I'll come and spank you right here in this auditorium. I mean, that's the way we do our girls. Isn't that right? You don't see these girls cutting up. We'd whip them right on this platform. And I'm serious about it. We're not going to put up with any foolishness in this auditorium. We're here to win souls for Christ and to get the gospel. And you mothers and daddies, if those are your youngs, if you don't take care of them, I am. You say you're pretty hard. No, I'm just serious. I just believe it. I don't have any time to waste, neither do you. We're on our way to eternity tonight. Did you know that? One night, little old boy sitting out in front of me, and I tell you, he was a cutter. I mean, he was, you've heard him called a pistol and everything else. Well, I nearly exploded on him, and I told him, I said, boy, I'll jerk you up and whip you if you don't sit there and get quiet right now. You understand? And he said, uh-huh. He looked at me. Somebody said, I know a bunch of the, you know, softies and sissies and little Casper milk toasts. They said, isn't that terrible? Preacher, get up and talk to a little boy like that, little fella, maybe, you know. I preached a sermon, he listened to every bit of it and came down to altar and got saved. Amen? I had to get his attention, didn't I? That's right. And so you're going to have to listen if you stay in this auditorium. We're renting this auditorium for God this week and for precious souls to be saved. All right? Let's read on. He said, and the field shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, there shall be no herd in the stalls. Now, if that kind of famine is on, looks to me like it's about over. I mean, how could people ever, you'd say, well, he must be a miserable man. You know he's going to have to be unhappy. Wait a minute, I haven't read it all. Read the next verse. Yep, I'll rejoice in the Lord, I'll join the God of my salvation. I may lose my groceries, but I won't lose my God. I may not get to eat, but I'll still praise God. I'm on my way home. And if I starve to death, I'm going to Jesus' home where we'll never hunger anymore. That's what he said. I'm talking about joy tonight. Have you lost the joy? Have you really? Are you wilted? Are you wilted as a Christian? Or do you have the jubilant that you ought to have? All right, let's read a little further. Would you go please to Luke chapter 10 and verse 17? You know what he says? The 70 returned with joy. You know who they were? Brother Hodges is the people that went out soul winning. Amen. They came back happy. They'd been out doing what God told them to do. When they, oh, sure, people kicked at them, spit on them, and threatened to kill them, and threw rocks at them, but they came back, all of them, happy as they could be. The Bible said they came back with joy. Came back with joy. Isn't that what we read this afternoon? Bible said, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves. With him, you're coming back happy. Would you like to have a real happy week this week? Then get out and win some souls for Christ. Just get out and win some souls for Christ. I was over at the airport at the Grand's today. And I said, son, he's at the hangar there, you know, I mean, at the place that dispenses gas and answers the phone and answers Unicom. And I said, son, are you a Christian? He said, yes, sir. I like the way he said that. He said, yes, sir. He said, I just don't get to go to church since I have to work out here. But he said, I tell you, I go every time I can. He said, I knew that boy's a Christian. He's clean. And I mean, he didn't say, well, I'm doing the best I can. And I joined the Baptist church. No, he said, yes, sir, I'm a Christian. He was happy about it. He's happy. Would you like to have a real happy week? Then I want you to win some souls for Christ. Think about it. If everybody in this auditorium would win one soul to Christ, wouldn't that be something? I'll tell you, heaven would rejoice, and I believe the angels would wonder what's going on down here. You and I, if we'd win somebody to Christ, you'd say, well, I don't know how to do it. I'll tell you what you do. You bring them up here, and I'll help you with them. You just load them up in the car. You do the hauling. You transport them, and we'll work on them when you get them here.
We are delighted that you joined us today for the Family Altar program with Evangelist Lester Roloff. The message today was entitled, Where Has the Joy Gone? Now, to receive that message on a CD, ask for offer number RO2453 and include $10 to help with shipping and handling. We'd like to have today's date and the call letters to this radio station. Our address is the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas, 78403. If you would like to use your credit card, dial toll-free 1-800-772-7507. During the month of July, we recommend this offer, No Thieves in Heaven.
a message by Brother Roloff teaching the difference between a thief and a shepherd from the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verses 1 through 10. You will learn who is the thief and how he operates. When requesting this CD, ask for offer number RO2748 and include $10. We would also accept credit cards by dialing 1-800-772-7507, or you can write us at the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas, 78403. Now the offer again is No Thieves in Heaven, offer number 2748. This is Gene Price, speaking for the staff here today, wishing you a wonderful day, and we're looking forward to being with you again here on the Family Altar Program.
The strangers to God, His grace and His love, were gathered by blue Galilee to listen with joy to words from the lips of the stranger who sat by the sea. They came and they were blessed. He gave the weary rest. He made the blinded eyes to see. He fed the hungry soul, and he made the wounded whole by the waters of blue Galilee. They sat at his feet, and they looked in his face, content in his presence to be, for no one before had cared for their souls like the stranger who sat by the sea. They came and they were blessed. He gave the weary rest. He made the blinded eyes to see. He fed the hungry soul, and he made the wounded whole by the waters of blue Galilee. The weary rest, he made the blinded eyes to see. He fed the hungry soul, and he made the wounded whole by the waters of blue Galilee.